Good morning and welcome to our special program on Goal 13 of Sustainable Development Goals, which aims to take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. My name is Enoch Muteti and I will be your host for this program. Today we will be focusing on the impact of climate change on food security in Kenya's arid and semi-arid lands, where the situation is worsening day by day. We will also look at what needs to be done to combat climate change and protect our planet for future generations. This is the sound of rain, a sound that is music to the ears of farmers and pastoralists in the ASEL counties. However, in recent years, this sound has become a rare occurrence, and when it does rain, it is often too much, causing floods and landslides that destroy crops and homes.
As per now, as we talk, people have stopped farming using rainfall due to climate change. Nowadays, we don't even know when the season starts and when the season ends. Before, we could receive our rainfalls, especially in part of December, January and February. And by April, you would be harvesting maize. But nowadays, it's different. You might even receive our rainfalls in the month of July. Then we don't receive in December. And we end up being confused. We don't know when to expect a season and where not to expect. Sometimes you can even skip a season without any help for rainfall.
According to the latest assessment report by the government and humanitarian agencies, the food security situation in ASAL counties has deteriorated significantly, with over 4.4 million people facing acute food insecurity and requiring urgent humanitarian assistance.
One here in Nimesema seasons, nowadays climate cannot give us season because most of the times it's very dry and sunny. Most of people now are moving away from farming, and that's why we are having our escape routes in towns. This climate change, it has caused us a lot of urbanization, because now if you are a farmer and you don't have enough water to do your farming, then it means the only thing you can do is business. So you even sell your land and go to the urban to look for a business to do or something to do. Another thing, this climate, it has brought an impact of, before we'd be having a lot of markets. Nowadays, we do have a lot of shops over those areas, those designated areas. So again, it has somehow brought infrastructure growth, but I would say it's more of negative than positive.
On us, and since our livelihood mainly relies on farming, the climate change has impacted us in very, very huge ways. In our area, we are normally reliant on rain, and for the past few years we haven't had that rain for a while. We had this timetable per se, we had observed that the rain, especially the long rains, would come around the month of September to November. And we take advantage of that and plant maize, beans, tomatoes, and then cultivate as time passes by. But for a couple of years, we haven't had the long rains, so it has greatly affected our farming and our livestock as well. And it has also affected our physical health, given that there's a lot of dust in our area, because the roads we have are all weather kind of roads. But given that it hasn't rained, it has collected quite a lot of dust. It even forms like four layers of dust, and it has affected.
To understand the impact of climate change on food security, we spoke to a few people and a few experts.
They normally depend on the rains, seasonal rains that we receive. So since we've not had constant seasonal rains for quite a while, almost a year now, it's literally dried up, which has of course caused farming to reduce, and it's very hard to do boreholes within the hilly region because some parts of Taita are literally covered by volcano plates or volcano areas. So any type of drilling may cause either a tectonic shift or something of that sort. So most people have tended not to do drilling, hence why you find majority of areas lack some water. However, those who live in the lower land areas and not the hilly areas have done a bit of digging of wells. So at least it has provided a bit of water for them to do mainly just some basic farming just for their households and not for sale. During the rains, when we receive rains, that's when we get better growth for food to be able even to sell to others and even to the local markets. We can basically, due to the climate change, livelihood, it has caused, one, it has caused the drought, that's one. Two, of course, because of the drought, food shortage has happened. When food shortages happen, people die or scarcely do the things they want to do. So basically it just affects everyone all around. Things become expensive because now it's no longer produced within, but you have to import from outside. So things become so expensive, and basically day-to-day life becomes even more expensive. Now you can even see your local unga ugali from the mere 100 to 200 all of a sudden, even sometimes some going to even nearly 300 shillings. And that's just a basic commodity of food. So if that's what the case is, imagine what other things might be, even just to take care of yourself.
To combat climate change, urgent action is needed at all levels, from individual action to national and international policies.
Be strict with them. Yeah, so if this is a industry in the county I represent, these are the policies we've set. If we find that you have gone above them, yeah, that we have very strict measures to make sure you pay for your actions. Yeah.
Well, is there any passionate word you'd like to say towards the national team, or even to the people that will hear you for this documentary?
Yeah, I believe in the words that be the change you want to see. Yeah. So before we affect the masses, before we talk about 1,000 people, 5,000 people, then country at large, you as an individual, do something different today, and your small action will go ahead and impact in a long way. So you can imagine if 10 people today decided to plant 100 trees, that's already 1,000 trees. So just believe in the power, in your capability. In as much as your action is small, just do different and stand by it, and eventually it will go a long way. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Mr. Avram Owiru.
Karibu sana. Thank you so much for having me.
In my opinion, the one thing that we can do to help within climate change is our trees. I'm a huge fan of planting trees. Kenya is a vast land that used to be surrounded by trees. And because of making charcoal a source of fire, we ended up cutting down so many trees, and also because of hearsay of local traditions, or this tree has some taboo, or that tree has some taboo, you find people cutting down trees. And this of course has greatly changed our climate in the area, not only in our hometowns but just across the board. Now we need to promote the planting of trees, estates, in homes, even in the villages. I'm proud to say that in my hometown where we live, my late grandfather promoted planting trees. He loved planting trees, so our home is literally surrounded by trees. So even during this hot period of sun and heat, at least we have a place of shade whenever we go back home, though it's still so dry and dusty. In the recent years, I have noticed a lot of change within the weather. Like there was a time where it would rain, we'd have short rains between January, around early January, and then it would die down, and then you'd expect a bit of another short period of short rains from April there, and then the long rains coming in during June all the way up to August somewhere, and then it dies down, and then that cycle repeats. But slowly it began to change. Then there were no more rains during January, slowly again no more short rains during the April season, and then we only relied on the rains for during the long season, which I can say has really caused the problem with food production as well.
To learn more about policy actions needed to combat climate change, we spoke to a few experts.
Carbon emissions rather, they could also go ahead and support the communities around them, because if it's a cement factory or a shoe factory, the people in the community will get affected the most because of the emissions. So go ahead and support the community where they are. They could do green parks, they could plant more trees, they could make sure they're not discharging effluent into the water sources that the people in the locality use. So those are just but small steps that they should start with. Yeah, I believe I would do three things. Education, very important. So I'd find a way to educate the masses, be it introducing it into the curriculum. So even as kids are growing up, they would know that, hey, we have this challenge amongst us and we actually have the solutions with us. So let's go take part in ABCD. So I would do a lot of education. Number two, I would do a lot of high level government relations to make sure that in as much as a county, we have policies that are supported by the national government, mm-hmm. and the national government also is in a way supporting us through maybe funds and resources. And number three,
communities have a crucial role to play in combating climate change, from adapting sustainable farming practices to reducing their carbon footprint.
First of all, thank you for having me. My name is Wawero Chris Avram. I'm an environmentalist, a sustainability enthusiast, as well as a corporate communications practitioner. So my passion for environment and climate change peaked when I was very young. So of course I've done a lot in primary school, in high school and university level, but let me focus on the ones I've done at university level. So I founded the Environmental Club of Desta, that's in Athi River, the main campus, and we went ahead to do five projects under a thematic pillar called Green Desta. So through that, we were able to do afforestation, which was number one, which is planting of trees. As you know, Desta is in a very arid and semi-arid land. So we were able to plant over 10,000 trees. Then we did water management, which we were able to do rainwater harvesting. We did energy efficiency. So the school transitioned from off-grid electricity to clean and green energy. So solar water heating in the hostels, solar grid tie for electrical use, and LED lighting. And then we also did sustainable agriculture. So the school introduced a bee apiary. They introduced goats, cattle, poultry as well. And then they're in the process of introducing a school farm, as well as waste management. So we introduced color-coded dustbins, and then we were doing monthly cleanups.
To learn more about roles of communities in combating climate change, we spoke to a community leader.
The biggest challenges, I feel like, political goodwill and I'll explain. Nowadays, we're seeing a lot of people, governments, youth, seeing the impact of climate change or realizing that, oh, climate change is a reality. Yeah. Back in the day, there wasn't enough political goodwill to support the government to put aside maybe funds for environmental conservation, or maybe just the political divide, not seeing the urgency of the matter. That was the biggest challenge. Number two is lack of awareness. So many people don't know that their actions actually harm the environment. That's why you'd see people comfortable in number tattoo, opening a window and throwing out a bottle. So lack of awareness, and also another challenge towards combating climate change is behavior change campaigns, where now you want someone to switch from a plastic paper bag, but how are we going to affect that behavior so that it trickles down from a parent, let's say, to the youngest child, for them to understand that, oh, I need to now use reusable materials. Yeah. We're already in a dire state. Yeah. If nothing is done, I feel like it will almost be uninhabitable to live in the ASAL areas, because you cannot farm, yeah, to feed yourself. There's no water for both for irrigational purposes and even for, you know, if you want to consume it. Yeah. And in areas where the ASAL areas, it almost becomes hostile, because if one person has a farm and they have cattle or they have food, you find now people almost even raiding it to satisfy their need for food. So my short answer would be it will be almost uninhabitable because even of the extreme weather changes. So most people will now have to shift to more habitable areas, which again gives pressure towards places where are habitable. So it becomes even a problem not to even feed that population. Yeah. We need them to come together and, you know, have both individual and, let me say, actions that are done together. So it's important maybe for the US government or the UK government to support a poor country to achieve its dreams or goals towards a more low carbon economy. So I believe that international cooperation is very, very important. Yeah, I believe the first thing to do is to create awareness, to maybe sit them down and let them know that, hey, we have climate change with us. This is how it is affecting us as a community. This is what we need to do to make it better. And now taking the initiative to now go ahead and plant trees, do cleanup campaigns, engage the local government for support. I believe that is what individuals should start with as the bare minimum. Wow. Yeah, of course, it depends with a lot of resources and financing. But if in the event it is there, then whatever they're doing, maybe if they're planting trees, they can now do it at scale. If they're doing 100 trees, they could go ahead and do 1,000 trees. If they're educating 15 people, they'd go ahead and educate different schools in the county, as an example. Yeah. So whatever they're doing at bare minimum, when they get the resources, they now should do it at scale to affect more people. Yes and no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like with every regime, there are really good plans, really good policies. My issue is it doesn't trickle down to the bottom part. Yeah, so with the current regime, they have a 15 billion trees program that they want to, a target that they want to achieve. But that's so high level. How are we supporting someone on the ground to achieve that? So I feel like more needs to be done, especially at the community level, because they're the ones who are impacted the most. Yeah. I believe they should now go green. Yeah. There's something called green procurement. Let's start with that. Mm-hmm. So this is, even the choice of paper that you buy has to be certified by the FSC, which is the Forest Stewardship Council. Yeah. What FSC does is it makes sure there's sustainable use of forests. So if you have trees for timber to produce, trees which produce paper, they are done sustainably without harming the environment. So if a tree is cut down, they plant others. So there's green procurement. There's, of course, using technology which will limit the use of carbon emissions, the release of the ground. Yeah, so I would put in place initiatives where people can now benefit from, and that'd be more long-term. And the last thing I would do is introduce policies and be strict with them.
In conclusion, climate change is a global challenge that requires urgent action at all levels. The impact of climate change on food security in ASAL counties is a clear example of the urgent action needed to combat climate change. Thank you for listening to our program on Goal 13 of the SDGs. We hope that this program has inspired you to take action on climate change and protect our planet for future generations.